Stay by Vendetta Days. Chapter 1. Autumn.
You can't be serious!
The words were out of Hermione's mouth before she could stop herself when Minerva broke the news about Hogwarts' new arithmancy professor. Minerva stared at Hermione from behind her desk, with her lips pressed into a thin line. She looked every bit the stern professor who had once taught Hermione transfiguration, and now every bit the still-stern headmistress of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Minerva raised her brow and asked,
"Have I ever been known to joke?"
"Well," Hermione paused, mouth opened before she closed it slowly, unsure if she should reply or not. She sat down in the chair opposite Minerva.
"To be honest, I'm not quite sure right now."
Was that a smile on Minerva McGonagall's face? Hermione wasn't sure, but the corner of her lips most definitely lifted just a little bit. It was always odd to be reminded that Minerva had a personality and was not always as strict as she pretended to be.
"I assure you that I am not joking," said Minerva.
She poured a cup of tea, and with the barest twitch of her finger, the cup and saucer floated to Hermione, where it stayed resting in the air.
"The arithmancy position has been vacant since Septima retired at the end of last school year."
Hermione nodded reluctantly. She wasn't going to enjoy Minerva's logical explanation.
"I hear Madeira is lovely all year round."
"And for us to continue to offer the best to our students, we have found an excellent replacement in Miss Parkinson," continued Minerva, with a pointed stare, ignoring Hermione's attempt at derailing the conversation.
"Miss Parkinson is the best in her field. We are lucky she accepted the school's offer to teach. It's only a 1-year contract, but we're still very lucky, given how short notice it was, too."
Term was starting tomorrow, and Hermione knew how important it was that they had a full teaching body for the year. Several of her students had expressed interest in taking arithmancy for their NEWTs at the end of last term, and would be devastated if the school no longer offered the subject.
"But it's Pansy Parkinson," Hermione frowned, biting the inside of her cheek as she looked down at her lap.
She hated the insecurity that welled up at the mere thought of Pansy Parkinson. It had been more than a decade since they were in school together, but apparently time did not dull memories. She thought she had got over how Pansy used to make her feel. She was an adult now. But when Minerva had said the name of their new colleague, it was like Hermione had been reduced to the girl from her school years.
"I know what you're thinking."
Minerva raised a hand to stop Hermione's interruption.
"But people change. They grow, too. Whatever Miss Parkinson's allegiance was during the war, she has been exonerated and deserves a chance."
"That was never in question," said Hermione quickly, needing to clear the air and right Minerva's wrong impression of why she wasn't happy that Pansy was joining the school. She twisted her fingers together.
"That's not the reason why I'm hesitant."
She reached for her tea and took a hurried sip so she didn't have to say any more. Minerva didn't push, only nodded and folded her hands on the desk.
"Let bygones be bygones."
Hermione nodded.
"Of course."
With the matter of the school's new arithmancy professor supposedly settled, Minerva clasped her hands together.
"Shall we talk about your plans for this year's transfiguration curriculum? You said you wanted to hold advanced classes beyond that of NEWT level."
"Yes, we have a few students who will progress to higher education after Hogwarts."
Hermione put down her tea and rummaged through her beaded bag for the lesson plans she had prepared.
"The institutions are very competitive, and I wanted to prepare them for the entrance exams."
"Show me what you have."
Hermione launched into her teaching plans for the next academic year, a topic she could talk about for hours on end, and thoughts of Pansy Parkinson faded, momentarily, from her mind. It wasn't long before Hermione found herself thinking about Pansy Parkinson again. She found herself worrying over how to act or what to wear. What did one wear when confronting the woman who had made her school days a living hell? She was in her room at Hogwarts, staring at her reflection in the full-length mirror, and smoothing down her crisp white shirt. It was freshly ironed and tucked into her black pleated skirt, which flowed with every twist of her hips. Her black robe was hanging behind the door on a hook. She couldn't help but think it was too non-magical. Should she change into more traditional robes?
"Oh, this is ridiculous," muttered Hermione. "I completely agree,"
the mirror's shrill voice echoed in reply.
"What's wrong with a nice set of dress robes? It's the start of term feast, and you should be dressed appropriately."
Hermione rolled her eyes.
"I'm more comfortable wearing this, but thank you for your comment."
She ignored the mirror's continued grumblings and sat down on the ottoman next to the fireplace. It was ridiculous, though. Pansy Parkinson wasn't going to care what she wore. If anything, Pansy would look at her and ignore her completely. There was entirely no need for her to worry about how she looked. Hermione closed her eyes and sighed, taking a moment to collect herself before opening her eyes again. She slipped her socked feet into a pair of heeled Oxford shoes and flexed her toes against the supple leather as she tied up the laces. It was a new school year. She wasn't going to let a woman from her past destroy the excitement she felt on this day. The new academic year meant new students and returning students, and minds to mold and pour knowledge into. Pansy Parkinson wasn't going to ruin that for her. With her internal pep talk done, Hermione stood up and grabbed her robe. She walked purposely out of her room and right into Neville, who was standing outside in the corridor.
"Oh, Neville! You didn't have to wait for me."
"I only just finished getting ready myself," said Neville with a grin, offering his arm out to her.
He was looking very smart in a set of tailored robes, a hint of Gryffindor red showing on the inside of the robes.
"I was down in the greenhouses and almost lost track of time. I'm very excited to show the students the evaporating eucalyptus sapling Luna imported from Australia for me."
Hermione smiled at Neville's enthusiasm, content to let him talk about his plants as they walked from the residential wing, where the professor's living quarters were, to the great hall. The constant buzz of conversation distracted her from her thoughts, even if it didn't settle the anxiety that thrummed through her body. Her mind turned to Pansy once again.
"You nervous?"
"Sorry?"
asked Hermione, turning her attention back to Neville. Neville looked at her, like he knew something she didn't.
"About Parkinson joining the teaching staff."
Hermione smiled and rolled her eyes. Was it that obvious? If Neville could see her nerves so plainly, then what would Pansy see? She was older, but despite the passing of time, she didn't feel any wiser than the girl who had walked into Hogwarts, babbling nervously about all the facts she'd learned from Hogwarts' history. Would Pansy notice that?
"Of course not," replied Hermione with more confidence than she felt. "We're adults now. I'm sure she'll be perfectly professional."
"Wasn't there some nasty publicity after the war about her parents?" asked Neville. "Heard it got so bad she left for Europe, but things quieted down after the Wizengamot got involved."
Hermione nodded distractedly. She had heard about how the Parkinson family had faced trial. The facts had been so blurred and muddled by gossip and rumor that it had been hard to distinguish fact from fiction. What she did know for certainty was Pansy's family had been imprisoned, and Pansy had not.
"There was new evidence that Pansy wasn't involved," said Hermione.
"Whatever that evidence was, it basically struck the Parkinsons from the list of pure-blood families," added Neville. "Apparently the Parkinsons' lineage was all fabricated. That's what I heard, anyway."
There had been that article published in The Prophet years ago, a puff piece in the gossip pages about where the pure-blood families were and what they were doing. It would have passed her by if it hadn't been for Ron sticking the article beneath her nose.
"Can you believe it?"
Ron had scoffed with a roll of his eyes.
"The lengths the Malfoys'll go to!"
That had been when Hermione was studying for her teaching qualification, and she had ignored Ron in favor of studying. She knew that he was proud to see his own family name on the list, but she couldn't remember seeing the Parkinson name on the list. It was as if the Parkinsons had disappeared from prominence.
"You know I don't keep up with gossip," replied Hermione finally.
She poked her elbow into Neville's side in reproach.
"And you shouldn't either."
Neville laughed and nudged her back.
"Can't help it. Hannah gets all the good goss from the leaky cauldron."
She was going to ask after Hannah when they arrived in the corridor that led to the Great Hall.
Instead of walking to the end and entering through the main doors, she steered Neville to a side door and into a dark passage that would take them all the way to the front of the hall where the teacher's table was.
"Ready for another year of fun and games?" Neville turned to Hermione with a grin. It was the same question he asked every year since Hermione became a teacher.
"As long as no one gets injured, killed, or worse, expelled," replied Hermione, sticking to their tradition.
It was a joke that she hoped stayed a joke. They'd already had too much of the first two in their lifetimes. Neville opened the door, and they stepped into the great hall. The four long tables were slowly filling up with students. Unlike when she was at Hogwarts, the students only sat in their respective houses at the start and end of term feasts, and any other formal occasions that required the whole school. For the rest of the year, they were encouraged to mix and sit wherever they wanted. The old house rivalries were still there, in the Quidditch matches and house points collected in the giant hourglasses in the entrance hall. But since the end of the war, the focus was less on competition and rather on collaboration between the students of Hogwarts. It was a change that Hermione hoped would foster a better Hogwarts.
"I'll see you at the end."
Hermione stopped abruptly, eyes widening as she approached her place at the table. It didn't matter how much she fretted or how much she overthought her "hello" and "how have you been?" or if ignoring Pansy outright was the thing to do, because it all went out the window when she saw Pansy at the staff table. Minerva McGonagall had the worst sense of humor. Pansy was sitting in the seat next to Hermione's and was looking out to the rest of the great hall, unaware of being watched by Hermione. Her elbows were on the table, hands clasped together, chin resting on top of her threaded fingers. It gave an air of detachment to Pansy, like she was untouchable by all. Her hair was sleek and cut into a stylish bob. She wore expensively tailored black robes that seemed to shimmer in the light of the hundreds of candles floating above the great hall. Hermione's jaw slackened, and her mouth dropped open. At this angle, and even without seeing her face, she could tell the years had treated Pansy Parkinson well. There was a regalness to Pansy's shoulders that hadn't been present when she was younger. Gone was the haughtiness, and in its place was elegance and grace. Hermione tugged at the sleeves of her robe, picking at a loose thread that she'd forgotten to cut off.
"You okay?" Neville touched Hermione's arm with concern.
Hermione smiled and nodded.
"Fine. You better get to your seat. It looks like the feast is about to start."
Neville gave a gentle squeeze and let go of Hermione. His place was at the other end of the table to Hermione's, and on Minerva's right. Without Neville's comforting presence, there was nothing more for her to do but sit down. She pulled back her chair. The wooden legs screeched against the stone floor, and she winced at the shrill sound. Oh, great. Now everyone was looking at her. And so was Pansy Parkinson.
"Pansy?"
greeted Hermione, with a tight smile as she sat down. Her robe bunched beneath her bum, and she shifted uncomfortably.
"Granger?"
Hermione couldn't stop herself from rolling her eyes.
"If we're going to be colleagues, you might as well call me by my first name," she replied with a huff.
The heavy wooden doors of the great hall opened, and the new students shuffled in, led all the way to the front by Professor Grubblyplank. She added beneath her breath, loud enough for Pansy to hear,
"We're not in school anymore." "I'd beg to differ."
Pansy shifted so she was looking at Hermione. A slow smirk appeared, and she rested her chin in her palm. She trailed her gaze down Hermione's body, then turned back to the rest of the hall, which had fallen into a hush as the sorting hat was placed on a stool.
"We're definitely back in school now." "You know that's not what I meant."
When Pansy looked at Hermione again, her dark eyes darted to Hermione's lip before returning to her eyes. Heat crawled its way up Hermione's neck, settling on her cheeks in a hot flush. That infuriating smirk on Pansy's lips only widened. Pansy hummed and drummed her fingers lightly on the table. On each of her fingers she wore gold rings of different thicknesses and widths, but each one was simple, some engraved with runes, others with symbols that Hermione didn't know the meaning of.
"See something you like?"
Professor Granger?"
The blush on Hermione's face renewed in intensity, and she jerked her attention from Pansy's long and lithe fingers. The way Pansy said her name and title settled like warm honey in her stomach, and she squirmed in her seat. She was saved from coming up with a witty, or more likely bumbling, reply when the Sorting Hat started its song. Hermione took the chance, and Pansy's distraction, to tug at her robe, readjusting it so it wasn't awkward to sit on. Next to Pansy, she felt as inelegant as a duckling next to a swan. She sat through the sorting, pointedly ignoring Pansy, whose gaze was like a heated brand every time she felt those dark eyes on her face. There was a long line of students still to be sorted, and Pansy hadn't once looked away from Hermione. Somehow, this wasn't what she expected a reunion with Pansy to be like. Exactly what she expected, she wasn't so sure either, but definitely not this simmering current of frisson she felt each time she caught Pansy looking at her. It was going to be a long night, and the feast was only beginning. Hermione settled back into her sixth year of teaching with little fanfare. She welcomed back her returning students with a test amidst many groans and the thud of a head hitting a desk, and eased her new students into her lessons slowly. The first years would come to know her methods soon enough. After their meeting, Minerva had given her the go-ahead to set up an advanced transfiguration class for her NEWT students who had plans to take university entrance exams at the end of the year. Three times a week, she dedicated her evenings to teaching the extra lessons. Had this been offered when she was still at Hogwarts, she would have jumped at the chance. Well, she had jumped at the chance to teach extra lessons when Sarah Lamb, one of her students, had asked at the end of last year. So it had worked out in the end.
"I don't know how I'm going to find the time to finish this and the 5-feet essay for arithmancy,"
griped Sarah as Hermione finished handing out the essay questions and worksheets.
"At least yours is only 5 feet. I got 6 feet for messing up the last calculation."
That was Robert Idris, his voice muffled as he complained into his desk.
"Why did I let you all convince me to take advanced transfiguration, NEWT transfiguration, arithmancy, and runes?" asked Nev O'Connor, as she leaned back on the back of her chair's legs dangerously. "Professor Parkinson is really working us hard, and it's only the first month of term."
Hermione rolled her eyes at how dramatic her students were. Seventh years were worse than first years, but she worried that they were overstretching themselves so early in the year. She flicked her wand, and the chair legs of O'Connor's chair slammed back onto the floor.
"Are you having a hard time in Professor Parkinson's class?" "There's so much work. I didn't think that the jump from OWLs would be so big," said Lamb. "Professor Parkinson's teaching style is so different from Professor Vector's, and her feedback can be a lot."
Indignation ran through Hermione, and she loosened the grip she had on her quill.
"I can have a word with Professor Parkinson, if that would help." "Oh, no, that's not necessary, Professor Granger. Professor Parkinson is a great teacher. I made a simple mistake at the beginning of a calculation which skewed the results," explained Lamb in a hurry. "Her comments can be harsh, but she gave me feedback on the mistake. Without it, I wouldn't know where in my numeric equation I went wrong, or how it messed up the predictions."
That's good," said Hermione, blinking. "Well, if there are any problems, or if these advanced transfiguration lessons are too much, I would like you all to let me know. I wouldn't want any of you to fall behind in your NEWT subjects."
Her students nodded, and a chorus of, "Yes, we will," and "Sure," sounded, followed by the chair leg scraping against the floor, and bags being shrugged onto shoulders.
"See you tomorrow, and remember, I want that essay on Monday."
The door to the classroom slammed shut, cutting off the rest of Hermione's speech and leaving her alone. She sighed and dropped her quill on her desk. The eagle feather was looking a bit ruffled and crooked in the middle. The enthusiasm that Lamb defended Pansy with, and supported by Idris and O'Connor, surprised Hermione. She didn't know what Pansy was like when she was teaching, but apparently her students thought Pansy was great. With another sigh, she tidied up her desk and shoved away the textbooks, parchment, and quills back in their rightful places.
"Oh, bugger!"
Her hand knocked over her inkwell, spilling black ink over her desk. She pinched the bridge of her nose, willing away the rush of frustration spreading through her body, like the ink on the desk. She waved her wand, and the spilled ink flowed back into the glass bottle. Not a drop was wasted, but seeing the righted inkwell only added to her irritation. She had been perfectly fine all evening. The lesson went well. It was Friday evening. Tomorrow was the weekend. Despite all of the positives, she couldn't rid herself of the irritation that was buzzing like static against her skin. She didn't have to do much searching to know when her mood had taken a dip. It was Pansy Parkinson's fault. Hermione huffed and left her classroom. She walked briskly through the empty corridors, eager to get back to her room. A cup of tea and a good book was what she needed to calm herself whenever Pansy was so much as mentioned in her presence, and she found herself like this. It was becoming a problem. They hadn't had a proper conversation since the start of term feast. If the few sentences she and Pansy exchanged, and laced with a flirtatious undertone, could be called a conversation. Since then, Pansy had ignored Hermione, and it infuriated her. Pansy could be aloof to the point of cold, and yet the next second she could be smirking at Hermione like she knew a secret she didn't. It was made worse by how Hermione couldn't even avoid her. Pansy was everywhere. At breakfast, in the corridors, at lunch. During a lesson, when Pansy had poked her head into her classroom with a message from Minerva. In the teacher's bathroom, the staff room, at dinner. The only place Pansy didn't show up was Hermione's bedroom. But for some reason, she started doubting the possibility, and had even checked under her bed. Pansy swept in and out of rooms, strode through the school corridors, heeled shoes clicking against the stone floor like she owned them. Even when Pansy was eating, picking at her food with a fork in one hand whilst she held a book in the other. She was cool and graceful at the same time. It was all very distracting for Hermione. Time might have made Pansy more comfortable in her body, but it only added to her arrogance. She knew how to wield her looks, and it affected Hermione more than she wanted to admit. Hermione forced thoughts of Pansy from her mind, who was taking more brain space than was healthy. She ducked under a tapestry of Medusa the Mysterious at the next bend, taking a shortcut that skipped two flights of stairs and would take her to the corridor closest to the professor's living quarters. She was about to leave the tunnel, hand reaching out to lift the tapestry, when she heard a calm voice on the other side that had her screeching to a stop.
"And what are you doing here after curfew?"
The voice belonged to Pansy. Hermione gulped, and her heart pounded furiously inside her chest. It didn't matter how many years had passed since she was a student. The feeling of breaking rules, even when she had broken no rules, never completely disappeared.
"We're sorry, Professor," replied a shaking voice. "It's not Fiona's fault. I wanted to go exploring and convinced her to sneak out of the dormitory with me. If someone should be punished, it should be me."
Hermione lifted the tapestry slightly and peeked through the gap. Standing in front of Pansy was two first-year Gryffindors. Kreena Shaw was looking up at Pansy, shoulders thrown back and chin jutting out as she blocked Fiona with her body, who was hunched behind and looking worried at being caught out of bed by a teacher.
"Whilst it's admirable that you would take the blame for Miss Sharp, the fact is that both of you are out of bed and wandering the school after curfew."
Pansy crossed her arms over her chest. The gold rings on her fingers glinted in the light of the magical torches that lined the wall of the corridor.
"In fairness and respect of the school rules, you should both be given detention and have points deducted."
Hermione pressed her lips together, stopping herself from speaking up and intervening. Pansy was right. If it had been her, she would have done the same.
"But since this is the first time, I may be a little lenient," said Pansy, tone firm and expression stern, as she looked at the two students. "If I catch both of you out after curfew again, it will be detention for a week, where you'll learn introductory arithmetic with me. Now you better return to your dorm before you get caught again. Another teacher might not be so forgiving."
The two girls said a rushed thank you and scurried away. Pansy watched them disappear around the corner before her shoulders slumped. She ran a hand through her hair and sighed heavily. A furrow appeared between Pansy's brow. It was as if exhaustion had draped over her, now no one was around. Hermione bit down on her bottom lip and let the tapestry drop back in place, obscuring Pansy from view. She felt like she had seen something she shouldn't. She leaned against the wall. The stone was cool against her palms. In the dimness of the passage, she realized she was no longer annoyed. She didn't know what Pansy was like as a teacher. In her most uncharitable moments, she had thoughts that Pansy was like Snape, patronizing and mean-spirited, who had no issue with insulting students. But from Sarah Lamb's comments and what Hermione just saw, Pansy was nothing like their old potions master. Pansy might be hot and cold with Hermione when she wanted to, but she wasn't like that with her students. The difference was stark, and nothing like the image Hermione had built in her head of Pansy. It left her feeling unmoored and unsure what to do with this new knowledge of Pansy, who seemed to be less like the girl from their school days. Hermione didn't know how long she stayed leaning against the wall, but when she finally returned to her room, she was only more confused than before about who exactly Pansy Parkinson was.
"Okay, what is your problem?"
Hermione flinched at how close Pansy was, but stopped herself from stepping backwards.
"I don't know what you're talking about."
Pansy was frowning, and her perfectly painted red lips were pressed into a thin line. She stepped to the side to let Professor Flitwick leave the staff room. They were blocking the doorway.
"Yes, you do,"
accused Pansy, as she moved back inside the empty staff room.
"I assure you that I don't know what you're talking about."
Hermione crossed her arms and followed Pansy to the windows.
"You've been staring daggers at me since I arrived, and it's only got worse. So tell me what your problem is."
Pansy narrowed her eyes.
"Is it to do with what McGonagall asked, about moving your advanced transfiguration classes to other days of the week?" "First, I haven't been staring daggers at you. Secondly, the world does not revolve around you, Pansy," said Hermione,
irritated at the interrogation, but mostly at herself. She admitted that she had been watching Pansy lately. She'd thought she had been careful not to be caught. Apparently, she was wrong.
"You're a terrible liar, Hermione."
"I'm not!"
A light blush dusted Hermione's cheeks, flustered at hearing Pansy use her name for the first time. She rushed on.
"It's not like you've been particularly nice either, rolling your eyes during staff meetings whenever I talk, or being so damn distracting. So smug whenever you get something right. I'd prefer it when you just ignore me. At least that way I can pretend you're not judging me."
Hermione clamped her mouth shut, realizing too late that she'd said too much. Pansy was looking at her with slightly wide eyes before she collected herself, expression going blank. She scoffed and leaned her hip against the wall.
"I don't do nice." "That we can agree on."
The words left Hermione before she could stop them. It was a lie, though. She still remembered the incident with Fiona and Krina, but Pansy didn't know that. Pansy's face turned stony, eyes hardening before she flicked her fingers like she was batting away an annoying fly.
"Well, since we've cleared that up, I guess I'll leave you to your free period."
That wasn't what Hermione wanted to hear. She watched Pansy walk to the door. The first real conversation they had, and she'd already messed it up. She didn't even know what she wanted when it came to Pansy, who acted as inconsistently as she did. At least when they were students, Hermione knew where they stood with each other. Pansy would throw an insult, and she would retaliate.
"Wait!"
Hermione hurried after Pansy, who turned around slowly, eyes suspicious.
"Want to get a drink after school?"
"Oh, sod off,"
snapped Pansy. Her shoulders were rigid and hunched up to her ears, hands held into tight fists like she was gearing for a fight.
"It's just a drink down the pub. You don't have to be like that,"
shot back Hermione. She rolled her eyes, hiding behind the expression so she didn't show how the instant rejection had stung.
"Look, we're going to be working together for the rest of the year. We should at least try to be cordial."
This was already going so well. Pansy glared at Hermione, but the tension eased a little, and with a loud, exaggerated sigh, she brushed her hand through the air.
Fine, but drinks are on you.
It's unusual to see you here on a weekday,
greeted Madame Rosmerta. She looked between Hermione and Pansy with a hint of amusement when they walked up to the bar at the Three Broomsticks later that evening. Hermione sat down on a stool and smiled at the older woman.
As much as I love the school, sometimes you just need time away.
Rosmerta raised a pint of beer in agreement before placing it down on a tray with five other filled glasses.
Here, here, let's drink to that. Let me send this to Jack and I'll get your drinks.
With a wave of her wand, the tray rose steadily into the air and floated away. Rosmerta put her arms on the bar and asked,
So, what'll it be?
A bottle of fire whiskey.
Hermione frowned.
It's a school night.
A glass or two isn't going to kill you, replied Pansy, sounding bored. If I'm going to survive tonight, I might as well be slightly buzzed.
You're just full of compliments.
Hermione nodded at Rosmerta for the bottle of fire whiskey anyway. She was going to need a glass or two herself to dull how painfully awkward this was going to be. Having drinks with Pansy was already turning out to be a terrible idea. They had nothing in common, and spending time with Pansy wasn't likely to make them like each other, or wipe the animosity from their past, or shed any meaning on the odd flirtatious looks Pansy sometimes gave her. For all Hermione knew, that was how Pansy looked at everyone. Rosmerta returned with a bottle and two glasses.
Enjoy!
That was unlikely to happen, thought Hermione with a stiff smile. Pansy poured the fire whiskey and pushed a glass over to her. The first glass of liquid courage went down far too quickly for Hermione, as she scrambled for something to talk about.
So, how are you?
Pansy made a sound, a cross between a scoff and a huff of air that could not be mistaken for a laugh. She rested her cheek on her palm and looked at Hermione.
I'm fine. You? Fine.
They lapsed into silence, and Hermione gulped her fire whiskey, almost choking as it burned down her throat like molten magma. She breathed out a wisp of smoke.
Turns out that know-it-all Hermione Granger is bad at something. You're not a very good conversationalist.
Hermione tutted and glared at Pansy.
I can say the same about you. Although you're losing your touch with age, your tongue used to be sharper.
The insults used to hurt, but Pansy hadn't so much as commented on Hermione's looks or the clothes she wore. Pansy only looked at Hermione, and they fell back into silence. Hermione fidgeted with her glass, turning it round and round on the bar top. This was turning out to be as awkward as she expected it to be. It was like all they knew how to do was snipe at each other.
"This was a bad idea," said Hermione, finally.
She sipped more carefully at her fire whiskey, then threw caution to the wind and downed her second glass in one go.
"I could have told you that. I don't think there was a good pot about this."
Hermione laughed, a little louder than usual, and definitely fueled by the fire whiskey.
"You were a bitch when we were in school. Sorry to disappoint you, but I still am."
I can tell, replied Hermione.
She shook herself, reining herself in from falling into another insulting match with Pansy.
I'm sorry, that just came out. You just have this way of making me say things without thinking.
Good, it makes you less uptight.
Hermione pursed her lips and counted to 10. Pansy wasn't making this easy for her. They weren't cordial as she had wanted them to be, but they were talking, making small talk about anything that wasn't important. It was made easier with the fire whiskey bottle between them, scorching the back of Hermione's throat, taste heavy on her tongue, and it gave a languid quality to her vision.
"Why did you take this job?" asked Hermione.
The words slid from her mouth easily, now that she was on her third glass. She would need to stop soon if she was going to stay standing.
"It was something to do."
Pansy frowned down into her fire whiskey and shrugged like it didn't matter.
"Yeah, right. It's not like you don't have hundreds of job offers," said Hermione,
unable to keep the irritation out of her voice. She crossed her arms and huffed, forehead creased, and brows pulled together.
"Tell me the truth."
"Why?" snapped Pansy. "I don't owe you the truth."
No, you don't. But I'd prefer it if you didn't reduce teaching to a mere pastime, like it's something easy or to be taken lightly.
A high and sardonic laugh left Pansy. She shook her head and drained her whiskey. The bottom of the glass hit the bar with a hard clunk. When Pansy looked up at Hermione, it sent a chill down her spine. Pansy's brown eyes were dark, lips stretched and lifted up at the corners in a mocking smirk, face twisted into an expression of ridicule. For the first time since Hermione found herself sitting next to Pansy at the start of term feast, she was reminded of the girl from school. Hermione steeled herself, straightening her spine, and glared back. She leaned her right arm on the bar top, shifting in her stool so she was facing Pansy. She was not about to be pushed around or open herself to be insulted.
"What's with that look?" asked Pansy.
Her smirk didn't lessen as she poured herself a full glass and topped up Hermione's. The rich, amber liquid shimmered in the low light of the pub.
"Can't tell if you want to shout at me or punch me in the face."
Hermione picked up her glass and took a large gulp. She swirled her glass and watched the whiskey cling to the sides.
"Both."
Pansy laughed again and shook her head. The air between them wasn't hostile nor heavy, but not quite comfortable either. Hermione glanced at Pansy from the corners of her eyes. She still had the same bob haircut since school, but it suited her better at 30 than it did at 13. The ends of her hair were cut straight, running along the line of her jaw, and styled so the strands curled inwards to her face. In the dimness of the pub, lit only by the glow of the light spheres that hung above them, Pansy's profile was as mysterious as it was graceful. There was a regal tilt to her chin. The sharpness of her cheeks was softened by the light, and her mouth was downturned, no longer smirking. It was a mesmerizing sight, and Hermione couldn't look away.
"I hadn't meant to say yes to McGonagall's offer," started Pansy, in a voice so quiet that had Hermione not been secretly watching, she would have missed Pansy's words. "I already knew Septima was retiring. She was the first one to send me an owl, asking if I would consider the arithmancy position."
Pansy sipped at her drink a few times. Her pause was long enough that Hermione thought she was finished. The pub was never busy at this time of night on a weekday, but she stayed quiet and strained her ears so that she didn't miss anything. She was not a patient person. Never had been, despite what a lot of people assumed. Her impatience was what drove her to learn so much. She wanted to know the answers. Now. So waiting for Pansy to continue was torture. She bit down on her bottom lip, stopping herself from interrupting Pansy's contemplation.
"Septima tried to convince me, but I couldn't bear..."
Pansy reached for the bottle, only for Hermione to stop her, and order two cups of coffee from Rosmerta instead. She shook her head.
"It doesn't matter. McGonagall's owl came at the end of August, and I was ready to burn the bloody letter."
"But you didn't," Hermione finished, unable to stop herself.
"I don't know what came over me. The next thing I know, I'd packed up my things and apparated to the school gates as the new arithmancy professor."
The coffees floated down the bar towards them. This was the most open they had been with each other all night, and Hermione didn't know what to feel about it. She didn't know how to keep it going, so she said nothing and drank her coffee in silence. Pansy seemed to have spoken enough. When they were finished, Hermione paid for their drinks. She stood from her stool and almost tripped over her own feet. The coffee had done nothing to sober her up. Pansy wasn't faring any better, and was gripping the edge of the bar like it was the only thing keeping her standing. Tonight was such a bad idea, thought Hermione, not for the first, or the second, or even the third time.
"Come on!"
Hermione grabbed Pansy's arm and swung it over her shoulder, and together they stumbled out of the pub and back up to the school on foot. No apparating. She would never forget the smell of dittany and blood.
"I'm not stupid enough to disapparate and drink."
Pansy leaned heavily into Hermione's side as they walked back through the school gates. Hermione hadn't realized she had spoken out loud.
"Maybe you should. It'd save me the trouble of carrying you back to the castle." "Be quiet. You're not even walking straight, Granger."
The walk to the castle and the professor's living quarters was so much harder when the world was fuzzy around the edges. Pansy's weight and her arm wrapped around Hermione's waist was unexpectedly comforting as she navigated the several flights of stairs, carefully avoiding the commonly used corridors for the less traveled.
"I don't want any students to catch their professors drunkenly stumbling through the castle," whispered Hermione in answer to her own question in her head. "You need to loosen up, Granger. If you don't let all that tension out, you're going to snap one day," whispered Pansy. "The students aren't going to care."
Hermione shivered as Pansy's hot breath tickled her ear. She swallowed hard as her heart sped up, as Pansy pressed closer to her.
"You're making it really hard to walk," grumbled Hermione.
They were almost at her door.
"You going to be all right getting to your room?"
"It's not exactly far."
Pansy pointed to the end of the hall.
"Well, this was fun,"
Hermione trailed off. Even with the alcohol running through her, she was much too aware that Pansy was standing outside of her door, waiting for her to go inside, just like the end of a date.
"No, it wasn't," said Pansy with a snort.
It was the most graceless sound she had made all night. Her eyes were drooping, like she was on the edge of falling asleep on her feet.
"It was the worst drink ever. We should do it again."
Hermione giggled at Pansy's contrariness.
"And go through all that again? We'd be better off facing a trio of blast-ended scroots."
She giggled again, but Pansy fell quiet, and she couldn't tell if Pansy was being serious or had fallen asleep with her eyes open.
"Pansy?"
The air in Hermione's lungs left in a shaking breath as she looked at Pansy. Really looked at her. Pansy's normally pale cheeks were glowing with a pink blush. Her hair was tousled like she had run her fingers through it one too many times. Her red lips were parted slightly, and her eyes were focused on Hermione's mouth. Pansy swayed forward, then righted herself with a hand on the doorframe. She took a deep breath through her nose and stepped backwards, gaze sharper than it had been just a moment ago.
"Good night, Hermione."
"Night."
Hermione watched Pansy walk away to her room without looking back. When Pansy disappeared into her own room, Hermione let herself into her room. She closed the door and leaned her forehead against the wood. For a moment, she had thought that Pansy was going to kiss her. She sucked her bottom lip into her mouth at the thought of kissing Pansy. Hermione forced herself from the door and kicked off her heels. She stormed into her adjoining bathroom, stopping at the sight of her rosy cheeks, bright from alcohol, but mostly from thoughts of Pansy Parkinson. She tore her gaze from her reflection and stripped out of her clothes. A shower was what she needed to sober up and to deal with the ache that had settled between her legs. She was lonely, but that didn't mean she wanted Pansy, right?
Stay, by Vendetta Days. Chapter 2. Winter.
"You know, Hermione," said Neville from over the top of his mug. Hermione closed her eyes briefly. She knew that look on Neville.
"No, but I have a feeling I'm about to find out, and I'm not going to like it."
They were in Greenhouse 1, sitting in a small partitioned area at the back, which doubled up as a small office for Neville when he was between lessons. There was an old desk between them, covered beneath a layer of dirt and soil. Every Saturday morning around 10 o'clock, she and Neville met in the greenhouse for tea. Hermione shivered inside her thick coat. There were certainly warmer places to have tea in December than a greenhouse. She prodded at the magical fire she had conjured and housed in a jam jar on the desk.
"You have a thing for Parkinson," said Neville, finally. The blue flames flared brightly, and Hermione jerked backward, saving her hair from getting singed. She didn't know whether to laugh or yell at Neville. A weak scoff escaped her instead.
"She's an awful person with an equally awful personality. I can't stand her most days, so I have no idea where you would get such a ridiculous idea from."
"Right," Neville hummed and sipped his tea.
"There's nothing, none of that,
She imitated his slow hum.
"So get it out of your head."
"You're protesting too much." an image of Pansy leaning on the bar at the Three Broomsticks, staring off to the side as she swirled her glass of fire whiskey, flashed across her mind. She remembered the urge to reach out and brush the hair that had fallen across Pansy's face. The drunken, most definitely drunken urge to know if Pansy's lips were as plump as they looked. Hermione shook her head.
"Neville!"
He sighed and lowered his mug. "I thought things were better after you and Parkinson went for drinks."
"Don't remind me."
Teaching the next day with a fire whiskey-induced hangover had been awful, but it wasn't the worst. No, the worst was waking up the next morning, hot and bothered from dreams about Pansy Parkinson that had lingered and stayed in Hermione's thoughts all day.
"I don't know, Neville. We exchange words, snipe at each other, and can be in the same room together. But that's about it."
"By exchange words, you mean you talk?" If throwing thinly veiled insults at each other that got less offensive and more flirtatious was considered talking, then yes, she and Pansy were talking.
"She's arrogant and takes every opportunity to challenge my teaching methods," said Hermione,
remembering how the last staff meeting went down. If Luna had been there, she'd liken it to an elaborate mating dance between two magical creatures.
"That's not what happened!"
Hermione grabbed a handful of dirt from the table and threw it at Neville. "Sorry, sorry!" Neville jumped out of his chair, mug held high in the air. The wide smile on his face didn't convince Hermione that he was sorry at all. She raised her fist threateningly. All right, I'll stop." Hermione lowered her hand and dropped the fistful of dirt onto the desk. She brushed her hands off.
"You need to clean this."
"There's no point. It's a greenhouse." Neville sat back down. "Are you staying in Hogwarts over Christmas?"
"I am."
"Hermione?"
"I'll be fine, Neville. I'll be down at Harry's on New Year's Eve."
Neville rubbed his hand over his chin and gave her a worried look. "I just wish you'd go a few days earlier. Spend it with family and friends instead of by yourself in this castle."
"I do this every year, Neville. There's a few students staying who'll need the company until Minerva returns after Boxing Day. I'll be fine, really."
"Really?" Hermione shrugged and drank her tea, using it as an excuse not to answer, even as she struggled to swallow at the thought of her family. Hermione wandered back into the school around lunchtime. After her talk with Neville, her appetite was lost, and the last thing on her mind was lunch. She walked through the school, which was decked out for Christmas. The scent of fresh pine followed her wherever she went. Baubles of varying sizes floated near the ceilings, and strips of tinsel that changed color decorated suits of armor in the corridors. The festivities haunted her with every step she took. Every doorway or arch she passed had sprigs of mistletoe hanging from them that she carefully sidestepped and avoided. It was a Saturday, and she had no lessons, only a mountain of marking to get through, which she didn't feel like working on now. She rushed down the corridor, irritated and in need of some time alone to calm herself. Her talk with Neville had her on edge. Pansy, her family, Neville's well-meant concern. Her thoughts were elsewhere, eyes focused on the limestone floor, feet moving automatically through the familiar corridors. Hermione grunted as someone collided into her, knocking the wind from her lungs. A pair of hands grabbed her upper arms and saved her from landing on her arse.
"Be careful! Watch where you're going!" Hermione snapped.
Of all the people she'd bump into, it just had to be Pansy, the one person she didn't want to see.
"You're the one who wasn't watching where they were going," Pansy argued. "Look, I'm not in the mood to deal with your passive aggression right now. Frankly, I'm not in the mood to deal with you at all."
For once, Pansy didn't have some witty or cutting comeback. All she did was squint at Hermione.
"You obviously have something you want to talk about. Shall we take this somewhere else?" "Oh, I'm sorry. Is Pansy Parkinson too embarrassed to talk in the open?"
Pansy stepped closer. The muscles in her jaw jumped like she was clenching her teeth together. She leaned in to Hermione and whispered into her ear.
"I'm not the one who should be embarrassed. I'm suggesting that we take this somewhere more private
and not in front of the students."
When Hermione looked over her shoulder, sure enough, there was a group of students huddled together, watching them like they were watching a Quidditch match. All they were missing was a tub of popcorn to enjoy the show.
"Fine, lead the way," said Hermione, with a flourish of her hand.
They walked down the corridor and turned the corner to avoid the group of students. Pansy opened the first door she saw, and Hermione followed her into the empty classroom. The moment the door closed, Pansy crossed her arms and stared at Hermione.
"Are you going to tell me what that was about? Throwing a tantrum in the middle of the school corridors isn't very professional."
"Just stop," said Hermione. She was ready for a fight, and it was Pansy's fault. Pansy stalked forward.
"No, why should I? I'm not the one with a chip on my shoulder."
A smirk appeared on her lips when Hermione flinched.
"I know you don't like me, and the feeling's mutual, but I'm here to do my job. So all that talk in the Three Broomsticks about being cordial? How about you put a galleon where your mouth is?"
Any reply Hermione was thinking about flew out the window. This close, and Hermione realized that Pansy was taller than her. They were toe to toe, with Pansy looking down, and she looking up, and the height difference settled heavily in her stomach. They were so close that the scent of Pansy's perfume, floral with deep undertones and a hint of spice, had her inhaling sharply. It was intoxicating, and Hermione lost the ability to think or remember why she was angry in the first place. She forced herself to step back and out of Pansy's orbit. She was angry at Pansy, the woman in front of her, who was frowning down at her so hard that it scrunched up the skin at the bridge of her nose. The afternoon light was a golden sunbeam filtering through the arched window, and it lightened Pansy's dark brown eyes to a honeyed amber. It was a look Hermione hadn't seen before, and it took her breath away. Pansy Parkinson was attractive. Oh, Neville was right. Hermione did find Pansy attractive. Maybe she'd always found Pansy attractive in some form or another. She stared at Pansy, unable to formulate any words through the panic she was feeling. There was probably a psychological explanation to why she found her old-school bully attractive, who she thought about much too often, who snuck into her dreams at night, who... Hermione's gaze drifted up to the ceiling above them, and the blood in her face drained. A bunch of mistletoe floated above their heads.
"What? You want an argument, or do you want a kiss now?"
The amusement in Pansy's voice snapped Hermione from her thoughts, brief daydreams of kissing Pansy. She scoffed and stepped out from beneath the mistletoe.
"Not in your dreams?"
Pansy shrugged like she didn't care.
"A kiss might loosen the stick up your arse."
For that comment, Hermione wanted to kiss Pansy just to shut her up. But if she did, it would look like she was agreeing. And she was not agreeing. If she couldn't kiss Pansy to shut her up, then a well-timed storm out would have to do. The mistletoe was probably full of nargles, anyway. The weeks leading up to Christmas passed by in a blur of end-of-term tests and essays, a few detentions, and the university applications Hermione's advanced transfiguration students were panicking about. By the time she waved goodbye to her students and colleagues for the holidays, she was ready to lie in bed for a week. She didn't remember school being so exhausting when she was a student. Without the hustle and bustle of students and teachers, the castle felt cavernous and empty as Hermione walked along its corridors. Every footstep echoed and reverberated off the stone walls. Every shuffle of her clothes and even her breathing was loud to her ears. She wasn't alone, though. There were 5 other students and 3 professors, including herself, who were staying over Christmas. But loneliness crept up and settled in her chest. It tugged and pulled until she was breathless. It wasn't a feeling she dealt with well in the presence of others, even if her friends meant well. For the 6th year in a row, she declined the Weasleys' invitation to spend Christmas at the Burrow. Hermione woke up on Christmas Eve with a weight like an anvil on her chest. As much as she wanted to curl up under the thick blankets, she forced herself out of bed and got ready for the day. There were letters she needed to reply to, one to Victor, thanking him for his gift, another to Luna, and her enlightening discussion on mating rituals of the northern Hixie nymph,
and a few letters to the Society of Transfiguration Practitioners. She also wanted to organize her bookshelf, not to mention the lesson plans she needed to prepare for the spring term. There was also the stack of essays she should have started marking a week ago. There was an endless list of things she didn't have to do today, but she went through each item in her head. Anything to avoid thinking about today. She closed the door to her room. A click of a lock closing sounded down the hall. She looked up to see Pansy walking towards her.
"Morning," said Pansy as she passed Hermione.
Hermione tugged the strap of her heavy satchel up her shoulder.
"Good morning."
Pansy walked down the hall and disappeared around the corner. Hermione sighed and walked the opposite way to a shortcut that led straight to the library. When she arrived, the comforting smell of books greeted her, and she set herself up at a table near the window. She took out a quill, her inkwell, and the small pile of letters, and placed them in front of her. Beyond a few nods and looks, she hadn't spoken to Pansy since their argument a few weeks ago. Their latest fight had kept her awake at night, lying in bed as she thought long and hard about the way she acted. Hours of staring up at the ceiling above her bed, and she hadn't liked the conclusion she'd come to. She had said to Minerva that it was never in question that Pansy deserved a chance, but she realized she hadn't given Pansy a chance at all. That she was still measuring this Pansy to the Pansy she knew in school, to the mean girl who had laughed at her front teeth and frizzy hair, who had not hesitated to give up Harry to Voldemort to save her own skin. Shame flooded Hermione's face. She hadn't wanted to give the wrong impression to Minerva why she was unhappy that Pansy was the new arithmetic teacher, but she had fallen prey to her own prejudices. Pansy was right. She had a huge chip on her shoulder. She blinked down at the parchment in front of her. There was a large blot of ink on the otherwise blank parchment. A spell and the black ink would be erased, but the sight of it only made her feel worse. It ruined the parchment, and she hadn't even started writing her letter. Her heart hammered inside her chest, beating nervously against her ribs as her thoughts ran away from her. It was a mess. She was a mess. Her feelings twisted themselves into a tangle, and she didn't know where to start to work out the knots. Her mind was full to bursting with things to do, thoughts battling for dominance, the letters she needed to write, the apologies she needed to say.
"Take a moment and just breathe, dear. You'll feel better afterwards, and the problems you thought were too hard to tackle will feel a little more manageable."
It was something her mom used to say. "Take a moment. Just breathe." It was the same thing her mom used to say to her dad, because she was her father's daughter in the way she thought and dealt with the world. But she was also her mother's daughter, and shared the same excited desire to learn as much as she could about the world. A lump formed in her throat. She dropped her quill and buried her face in her hands. She wanted to see her mom and dad so much. Later that evening, long after dinner had finished, and when anyone still living was in bed, Hermione left her own room and went to the school kitchens. She shuffled backwards as the painting of the fruit bowl that hid the kitchen's entrance swung open. She paused, one foot inside the kitchen and the other out in the corridor, when she saw that she was not alone. Sitting at one of the long tables, the one that would have been Slytherin House, was Pansy. Her shoulders were hunched, head bowed to the table, and her hands were clasped around a mug.
"Professor Hermione!"
Twinkle, the house elf, bounced up and down in greeting at Hermione. Pansy's head shot up, eyes widening as her gaze landed on Hermione. But as quickly as it came on, her expression went blank, and she turned back to her mug.
"What are you doing here?"
asked Pansy, suspiciously, when Hermione approached her.
"I like to make Christmas biscuits on Christmas Eve."
Hermione turned to the table, which was now laden with baking equipment she needed, and the ingredients, measured and ready to use. She chided Twinkles gently.
"You didn't have to prepare everything for me." "It was no trouble," Twinkles squeaked in reply. "We always look forward to your visit to the kitchens, Professor."
Hermione gave a resigned sigh, but thanked the house elf. Preparing the ingredients was an improvement to the first couple of years she joined Hogwarts as a teacher, and had used the school's kitchen to bake her annual batches of Christmas biscuits. In her first and second years, the house elves wouldn't let her lift a finger. No matter how she'd argued and reasoned, nothing went through, and she'd stormed out of the kitchens with tears of frustration in her eyes. It wasn't until her third year that Twinkles had appeared in her room an hour before midnight, asking why she hadn't come to the kitchens to bake. Ever since, she and the school's house elves reached an agreement. She would bake without the elves' help, and they would make sure she had what she needed and cleaned afterwards.
"You're going to bake without magic?" "Not everything needs to be done by magic," answered Hermione, with exaggerated patience, like she was talking to a child. "There are some things that magic can't replicate."
"It sounds like a lot of hard work."
It would be for someone like Pansy, but Hermione kept the thought to herself. She wasn't here to fight. That wasn't the purpose of tonight, and judging by the drawn expression, tired eyes, and furrow on Pansy's forehead, a fight wasn't what led her to the kitchens tonight, whatever that reason might have been.
"It reminds me of my parents," offered Hermione, extending an olive branch. A truce, because she was hurting, feeling shameful for behaving like she had with Pansy, and in need of a moment where they didn't swipe at each other like cats. At least for the night. They could return to whatever rivalry they had and irritate each other tomorrow.
"You could visit them."
Hermione shrugged and pulled a large ceramic mixing bowl towards her. She worked without talking, ignoring Pansy next to her as she creamed butter and sugar together. Next, she beat in the eggs, dropping a dash of vanilla extract, then another, just like how her mother used to.
"They're in Australia now, and have been for the last 12 years.
She made sure everything was combined before she stirred in the flour with a wooden spoon. The dough was coming together. She rolled it over a few times in the bowl with the spoon, until its consistency seemed just right. She sprinkled some flour on the table and tipped the dough onto it. Pansy was curiously quiet, but Hermione felt her intense stare burning holes into the side of her head. There was nowhere for her to hide from the scrutiny, so she carried on talking.
"They live in a suburb of Sydney, a nice house and garden for Dad to putter in, and close enough to the beach, which Mum loves."
A lump formed in her throat, and she swallowed hard to clear it. It stayed stubbornly lodged.
"They're living their dream retirement. It's everything they wanted."
She rolled out the dough until it was thin and smooth. There were an assortment of cookie cutters, stars, Christmas trees, baubles. Her hand shook as she picked up the nearest cookie cutter. The metal was cold against her skin. Pansy's slim, pale hand covered hers, prying her fingers from the tight hold she had on the metal. Any harder, and the sharp edges would cut into her fingers.
"What?"
Hermione looked up, blinking in surprise at how blurry her vision was. Pansy was a watery outline, who slowly came into focus when she blinked again. Hot tears ran down her face, scorching lines on her skin, and flowing along her jaw to gather at her chin. She hadn't even realized she was crying.
"Ignore me. Just forget you ever saw this."
"Why would I do that?" It was like Pansy only knew how to ask the hard questions, the ones that Hermione didn't want or know how to answer at all. Hermione pulled at her hands, trying to withdraw, but Pansy held on. Frustration bubbled up in her, threatening to overflow and spill out like an unstable potion in a cauldron. She ground her teeth together, trying and failing to stop the sadness she felt when she talked about her parents from overwhelming her. Today would only ever remind her of the mistake she had made at 18. She had thought she had done a good enough memory modification enchantment. It had been so good that it hadn't lifted when she found her parents again. 12 years, and no matter how many more, she would always miss John and Jean Granger, even if they didn't miss her now that they were Wendell and Monica Wilkins.
"Stop being nice to me," said Hermione quietly,
voice watery and weak. She dropped heavily into the seat next to Pansy. Her hands were covered in flour and sugar, and now so were Pansy's.
"Why are you even here? It's nearly midnight.
Shouldn't you be sleeping, or whatever else it is that Ruthmanses do at night?
It wasn't meant to be a joke, but Pansy laughed lightly, a sound Hermione had not heard before.
Arithmenses sleep like normal people. I don't know where you got that idea from.
Then why are you here?
Couldn't sleep.
So you're drinking coffee to help?
Hermione nodded at the half-empty mug of coffee on the table.
It's not like I'm going to get any sleep, so I might as well stay up.
Pansy looked at their joined hands.
Can I help?
Hermione frowned. She angled her head so she could wipe her face on her shoulder, but found gentle hands cradling her jaw, and equally gentle thumbs wiping away the tear tracks on her cheeks. She forgot the ability to breathe as she stared at Pansy, afraid to speak for fear of breaking this moment that felt fragile and liable to break. Of all of the ways she thought tonight would begin, this was not one of them. When Hermione carefully touched Pansy on the wrist, it was as if sense returned to her, and she dropped her hands quickly from Hermione's face. Hermione's stomach lurched at the loss, and she almost reached out, eager for contact, for the warmth that Pansy had provided briefly.
"Do you need help?"
asked Pansy again, clearing her throat as she looked everywhere but at Hermione.
"If baking without magic isn't too taxing for you—"
Pansy narrowed her eyes and arched an eyebrow. Hermione chuckled and rubbed at her face with the back of her arm.
"I was joking."
"Hmm, it's not a very funny joke. I wouldn't consider a career change any time soon if I were you."
A loud laugh erupted from Hermione. It was like a weight on her shoulder lifted, and she clutched her side as her body shook with laughter.
"Maybe you should be the one considering a career change."
She held out a cookie cutter to Pansy.
"You can help with this."
Hermione rolled out the dough, and Pansy cut out shapes with the cookie cutter. Tray after tray was filled, each one carried away by the house elves into the oven, and the kitchen was soon filled with the warm, sweet smell of baking biscuits.
"You can use magic to decorate," said Hermione,
as she checked to see if the biscuits had cooled enough. Pansy shook her head and took a small tube of magical icing, the kind that changed colors and glittered in the light.
"It won't look edible if I did."
Hermione restrained another laugh on the brink of escape. This was a different side to Pansy entirely, one that she hadn't expected to find tonight, not when she was feeling like she did. Pansy's dry humor, jokes spoken without a change in expression, was an unexpected balm. It brought a levity to a day that had become more painful than comforting. There had been tears, but there was laughter, and she had Pansy to thank for that. She broke off a piece of a star-shaped biscuit and popped it in her mouth. Sugary sweetness burst over her tongue, and she closed her eyes briefly, pushing down the surge of emotion that welled up. It tasted exactly the same as the ones her mother used to make. She held out a piece to Pansy.
"Here, try a piece."
Hermione held out a piece. Pansy turned her head and bit into the biscuit without pausing from decorating the star-shaped biscuit in front of her. A pleased moan left her, and the sound settled heavily in the air. She closed her eyes and pushed the rest of the biscuit into her mouth with her fingers.
"It tastes so good! How is this so good without magic?"
Pansy's tongue darted out and licked the crumbs at the corners of her lips, and Hermione couldn't tear her eyes away. Mouth suddenly dry.
"I hate to say this, but you may, on this very one occasion, be right about not using magic."
Not for the first time, Hermione found herself speaking before her mind caught up with her mouth, which seemed to happen a lot when it came to Pansy. By the time she realized, it was already too late, because she had already asked,
"Are you doing anything on New Year's Eve?" "So, when you said you were bringing someone—"
Ginny leaned against the kitchen counter in Grim Old Place and looked at Hermione curiously.
"I thought you were bringing a date, not Pansy Parkinson. Unless she is your date?" "She's not my date," hissed Hermione,
looking furtively to the other end of the kitchen, where Luna was deep in conversation with Pansy, who looked up at Hermione with an awkward and uneasy expression.
"Don't
say that so loud.
What else was I supposed to think? You never bring anyone to our New Year's Eve parties. I thought you'd sooner bring someone like Cormac McLagan than Parkinson.
Honestly, I don't know what came over me.
It was the spur of the moment. It was seeing Pansy looking the way she did in the school kitchen as she ate the biscuits they had decorated. It was the lightness she felt on an otherwise emotionally taxing day. It was her losing her mind because she invited Pansy to a New Year's Eve party full of her friends who had stared at Hermione when she walked into Grimmauld Place with Pansy behind her. What only made it crazier was that Pansy had agreed, and now here they were. To everyone's credit, they had taken Pansy's appearance in stride, once they got over themselves and stopped gawking. Harry had offered Pansy a drink. Ron had only stared. Ginny had tried not to laugh. Luna was Luna, and had taken Pansy's coat, hanging it up by the door, and drawing Pansy into conversation before anyone else had the chance to break the awkward atmosphere.
"You seem different."
Luna's airy voice by Hermione's left had her turning around.
"I do?"
Luna nodded and tilted her head to the side, eyes narrowing and widening as she stared.
"Calmer, less uptight in the shoulders. It's a good look on you." "Are you sure it's not the rack spurts?"
Hermione didn't think she was any different since she last saw Luna.
"Oh, don't be silly, Hermione."
Luna gave an enigmatic smile.
"The rack spurts have nothing to do with love and attraction."
Hermione barely had any time to wrap her mind around what Luna said before she flounced away, leaving her to gape after the other woman. There was no preparing oneself when it came to Luna Lovegood. There was another 20 minutes until midnight, and everyone was gathered in the drawing room in front of the TV, watching and waiting for the fireworks. To this day, Hermione didn't know how Harry had managed to get electricity into Grimmauld Place. She looked around with a frown when she realized Pansy wasn't in the room.
"She's fine," said Ginny, as if she had read Hermione's mind. "She's probably in the loo."
It wasn't that she was worried. Pansy was a grown woman, but she felt responsible as the one who had invited her.
"I'm going to find her. Don't want her setting off Mrs. Black."
Hermione wandered out of the drawing room and down the hall to the kitchen. It was empty. A chill swept in, and she realized the door to the back garden wasn't closed properly. She poked her head out the open doorway.
"Oh, I didn't know you were here."
Sitting on the back step was Pansy, bundled up in a thick jacket that wasn't the coat hanging by the front door, and with her scarf wrapped around her neck so many times that it hid the bottom half of her face. Hermione sat down next to her.
"You're going to miss the fireworks."
Pansy's voice was muffled beneath her scarf.
"It's the same every year. I won't be missing much," reasoned Hermione.
She wrapped her arms around herself, shivering from the cold, and wishing she had had the sense to grab her coat before she stepped outside.
"Here."
Pansy took her wand, and with an elegant swish, she conjured the coat she had arrived in. The oversized, fuzzy black coat dropped into Hermione's lap. The unexpected care took Hermione by surprise. She stared down at the coat, unsure what to do with it before her mind kicked itself into gear. She put the coat on and buttoned up the front. It was like being wrapped up in a very big hug, one that smelled like Pansy's shampoo and perfume. Her shoulders rose, and she burrowed her chin into the collar.
"Thanks.
I'd never hear the end of it from your advanced transfiguration students if you got sick and made them fall behind," grumbled Pansy.
She leaned back on her hands and looked up at the dark sky. It was a clear night without a single cloud, perfect for fireworks. Not that Grimmauld Place was anywhere near the London Eye to see them, but every year as the clock struck midnight, the sky above number 12 lit up with fireworks set off by the families living in the houses on the street. Hermione fished for something to say. Anything, because it was better than silence, which was becoming increasingly common between them, and increasingly hard to navigate correctly. She never knew if the silences should be broken or held, if they were good or bad.
"I didn't know you were on speaking terms with Luna."
"The Lovegoods have always been an important family in the magical world.
said Pansy, in a tone Hermione didn't recognize, like she was regurgitating memorized words.
That was before Xenophilius Lovegood became the head of the family and started that ridiculous magazine of his. But a family like theirs, even with a few screws loose, was a family with connections that a Parkinson should know.
Ah, of course, thought Hermione, feeling disappointed at the explanation.
That, and Lovegood seems to think there are some magical creatures who can only be communicated to through the magical properties of numbers, added Pansy, slyly. I hated care of magical creatures, but for some reason, Lovegood thought it was important that I hear about the mating rituals of some magical creatures earlier.
That, Hermione laughed, sounds exactly like Luna.
Why did you invite me?
The sudden question caught Hermione by surprise, and she swallowed her laughter. She wasn't really sure herself.
I don't know. It just came out, and then you said yes, so it wasn't like I could turn around and uninvite you.
Pansy rolled her eyes.
You could have. People do it all the time.
Hermione didn't know what kind of people Pansy knew who did that, but it wasn't the kind she knew or was friends with.
Why did you say yes? I'm sure you had better things to do tonight than spend it in a room full of people who wanted to hex you at least once in the past. It's how I love to spend my free time.
It wasn't an answer, but Hermione didn't push. She fiddled with her fingers, twisting them together as she gathered her courage. Seeing Pansy being in Grim Old Place and surrounded by people who she never associated with in school felt like a step forward towards what Hermione didn't know, but she wanted to move forward to find out. It didn't matter how old she got. Admitting she was wrong and acknowledging it aloud was hard, no matter what age she was.
I'm sorry.
Pansy sighed heavily, her breath a wisp of white mist swirling upwards into the air.
I'm sorry, too.
Why? Asked Hermione, brow furrowing in confusion.
I should be the one apologizing. You were right. I wasn't being fair to you, and I feel ashamed about treating you like that. You are such a goody-two-shoes. Okay, insulting me as I'm trying to say sorry is not doing you any favors right now.
Pansy's laugh was fast becoming a sound that Hermione wanted to hear all the time. Despite the light, lyrical nature of Pansy's laugh, the smile that curled the corner of her mouth didn't reach her eyes.
You are within your right to treat me like that, given our past.
But it's in the past.
Maybe it is for you now, but for a while it was something you still thought about.
Pansy scoffed and shrugged.
It's never going to be something I'll escape. People are always going to remember the things I did back then, during the war and for the wrong side.
She paused and swallowed hard.
It only ever gets more intense when the anniversary rolls around.
That Hermione understood. Next year would be the 12th anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. The war was long over, but it still hung over the magical world like a shadow. In the first few years, and a few more years after that, it had been hard to cope with the intense press and publicity. It was only after Hermione started teaching that the scrutiny of who she was with, what she was doing, who she was doing, lessened. Hogwarts really was one of the safest places in the magical world.
"You're responsible for your actions during the war, just as I'm responsible for mine," said Hermione quietly.
She pressed her hand on the cold stone of the porch. If she moved her little finger just a fraction, she would be able to touch Pansy's little finger, too. She took a deep breath and said,
"I modified my parents' memories to protect them when we were hunting Voldemort's Horcruxes."
Pansy stiffened beside Hermione at the casual mention of the name.
"That's why I can't visit them in Australia. In their minds, they never had a daughter. That's why I spend my Christmas Eve baking, because it's one of the ways I can remember them."
"Shit."
"Yeah, it's pretty shit," Hermione trailed off.
From inside the house, she could hear everyone shouting as they counted down from 10. The high-pitched whistle of fireworks firing into the air sounded as cheers erupted from the house. The night sky exploded in bright bursts of green and reds, golds and blues. Another year gone.
"'Happy New Year,' said Pansy. She turned to Hermione and smiled. It was such a small thing, a lifting of her lips, a narrowing of her eyes that creased the corners with lines. Hermione watched in awe at the change, and Luna's words about love and attraction resurfaced. She looked up at the colorful sparks that crackled and rained down on them from above, but compared to Pansy's smile, they were nowhere near as bright or beautiful.
Stay, by Vendetta Days. Chapter 3. Spring. The spring term brought with it a palpable panic in the seventh-year students. Hermione saw the change in her students, both in those who studied and did not. More worrying was the students she caught rummaging through their old second-year textbooks. What was more alarming was the unspoken agreement of a ceasefire between her and Pansy after the winter holidays. They weren't quite on opposite sides. They had one foot over the line on no man's land, and the other firmly in their own territories. It didn't make them enemies, but they weren't exactly friends. Pansy still got on Hermione's nerves, only it wasn't from irritation. With Christmas and New Year over, Hermione realized just how uncomfortably aware she was of Pansy. Like how Pansy held her wand, hand curled loosely around her wand, and how the numerous gold rings on her long fingers caught the light. The sly curl to her lips when she smiled, or most of the time smirked, at something said during a staff meeting. The intensity of her brown eyes, that in certain lights were gold, dark auburn, or honey. It didn't matter what color they were, Hermione found herself looking for moments too long to be polite.
"You have it bad."
Hermione jumped in her seat, squawking in surprise at hearing the low cadence of Pansy's voice near her ear.
"Pansy, when did you get in here?"
"I was calling your name, but you were so engrossed over—" Pansy picked up the essay Hermione was reading and frowned.
"I can't read this. No wonder you couldn't hear me if you were trying to decipher this." "Give that back."
Hermione swiped the essay out of Pansy's hands.
"The student is in their second year, and they're trying very hard. Transfiguration isn't for everyone. So I'd appreciate it if you weren't so cavalier in your attitude about our students and their education."
She trailed off when she noticed Pansy staring at her, an amused glint to her eyes, and a smile that sent her already rapidly beating heart into overdrive.
"You were joking?" "Was that a statement or a question, Professor Granger?" "Professor Parkinson, answering a question with a question isn't conducive to the discussion," said Hermione quickly, feeling proud of herself for the comeback.
Pansy rolled her eyes and perched on the edge of Hermione's desk.
"I was never good at group discussions anyway."
She held out a roll of parchment to Hermione.
"One of your students dropped it in my class." "You should be returning it to the student," chided Hermione.
She opened the parchment to see that it belonged to Sarah Lamb.
"It's quicker this way," reasoned Pansy. "You have your overachievers class tonight."
Hermione glared at Pansy, but it seemed to have no effect whatsoever. Her eyes drifted to the essay without meaning to.
"Oh, this is an interesting topic. Exploring the link between transfiguration and arithmancy as intersectional disciplines."
It was a theoretical analysis, with mentions of the practical implications of arithmancy aiding the magic used in transfiguration spells. She scanned through the essay. She loved transfiguration, but she also loved arithmancy when she studied it in school herself. But out of the two magical disciplines, she found herself more attuned to transfiguration, and it had stuck over the years, which was why she hadn't hesitated to accept Minerva's offer to be her replacement. Excitement bubbled inside her as she read on.
Arithmancy used to enhance transfiguration?
It wasn't a new idea, nor was it novel. She squinted down at the cramped writing. But calculations would work. The spell was a little unstable, and if the numbers were fixed— She shot to her feet, a wildness in her eyes as she gripped the essay tightly in her hand.
"You seem excited,"
Pansy raised an amused brow, eyes following Hermione as she walked around her desk and stood in front of her.
"Haven't you read this? Arithmancy and Transfiguration! It's exciting! Why aren't you more excited?"
"I am." Pansy's expression didn't change an inch.
"You've got a funny way of showing it," grumbled Hermione.
Pansy rolled her eyes and reached out, touching the roll of parchment in Hermione's hand with her fingertips. The creases disappeared, and the parchment rolled itself back up.
"Lamb asked my opinion on the intersectionality of transfiguration and arithmancy before the end of last term."
Her fingers brushed across Hermione's knuckles lightly before stopping to rest on the back of her hand.
"She's got a mind for seeing the gaps, and if she put as much work into arithmancy as she did for your advanced transfiguration classes, I think she could excel in both magical disciplines. The essay is good. A solid exceeds expectations. But she misses out on the outstanding because of her careless mistake in her calculations."
Hermione looked down at where Pansy's fingers were resting on her hand. It was barely a touch, less than a caress, but more weighted than a brush. Her skin tingled at the contact, and she breathed deeply to stall the shaking she felt. Pansy was watching her curiously, an expression that was as enigmatic as her touch, and one Hermione didn't know how to interpret.
"She's being marked on transfiguration, not arithmancy," added Hermione breathlessly.
The air in the classroom felt thin, like she was at the peak of a mountain and each breath was a struggle.
"Which is why I'd give her an exceed expectations. If I was marking her for arithmancy, I would give her an acceptable."
Pansy withdrew her hand. She took her wand from where it was holstered at her belt and tapped the edge of the desk. The papers and books on Hermione's desk magically packed themselves away, floating into drawers and shelves until the desk was clear.
"Let's go." "Where?"
The sudden change of topic and tone gave Hermione whiplash. She was indignant and offended for Sarah, and now for her desk and belongings.
"It's a Sunday afternoon, and you're spending it in your classroom." "I was working." "Exactly."
Pansy went to the door.
"You already teach on Sunday evenings, so you can spend a few hours not working and going for a walk with me."
Hermione was perfectly fine staying inside on a Sunday. She was perfectly fine not taking a stroll around the Black Lake with Pansy. She was perfectly fine.
"A walk sounds lovely."
It wasn't lovely at all, but Pansy hadn't given her much choice and had already disappeared out the door of the classroom. There was a brisk breeze, and it whipped Hermione's hair as they walked the edge of the lake. The sky was overcast, and the light filtered through the gray clouds in weak rays. It really wasn't the right weather for a walk, but she had conjured an outdoor robe and a woolly scarf, and it was all she needed to combat the chill of the Scottish Highlands in the middle of February. As much as Hermione protested, she enjoyed these weekly walks that Pansy forced her on. Her neck and back thanked her for it. She breathed in the crisp, fresh air, feeling revitalized as her mind cleared of the fog that had settled over her mind when she was in the classroom.
"Feel better?"
The cold had soothed Hermione's heated cheeks, but they flushed at how easily Pansy was able to read her.
"Yeah."
They were getting better at this. The silences no longer felt as weighted as they used to, less burdened with the past, but still just as tentative. There were no more arguments in the corridors. Pansy still had her moments, worming under Hermione's skin wherever she challenged her. But they weren't at each other's throats. Friendly, not unfriendly. Jokes that felt like jokes and not poorly hidden barbs wrapped up with humor. Their interactions fell into a gray in-between, layered with a depth that hadn't been present before, like the things she said were being listened to and digested by Pansy. Sometimes, when Hermione looked at Pansy, and Pansy looked back at her, she wondered if there could be something more. As quickly as the thought would rise, it was dismissed. Just because they shared a moment, two, in fact, didn't mean anything. She might find Pansy attractive, but it didn't mean Pansy found her attractive. A sinking feeling settled in her stomach as her insecurities reared their head.
"What's that look for?"
Hermione startled and looked away out at the lake, clearing her throat sheepishly at being caught staring at Pansy.
Nothing. I was just thinking." "You think too much."
Now that was the truth, but Hermione struggled for something, anything, to say. The giant squid emerged from the depths of the lake. Its head and several tentacles broke through the water's surface without a splash, rising fluidly like the water itself. Why was there nothing to talk about? She was a grown woman, a teacher who taught every day, but when it came to Pansy, she was reduced to speechlessness with her head empty of thoughts, or at her worst, throwing a tantrum with the temper of a teenager going through puberty.
"Why did you go into arithmancy?" asked Hermione, finally.
It was something she had wanted to know ever since Minerva said Pansy would be joining the teaching staff. Pansy shrugged.
"I'm good at it."
If it was anyone other than Pansy, Hermione might have pushed for more. No one ever went into something solely because they were good at something. There was always something more. But this was Pansy, and 5 months wasn't enough time for her to fully grasp this version of Pansy Parkinson over the version she knew in school. No one would know from looking at Pansy, but Hermione knew she was a big nerd when it came to arithmancy. Hermione doubted anyone other than their classmates who had taken OWL-level arithmancy remembered that Pansy had excelled in arithmancy back in school and got the highest mark in their year.
"Arithmancy is numbers and charts. The magical properties of a number doesn't change. It's not determined by emotion or opinion, unlike people," continued Pansy, surprising Hermione, who had expected her to leave it at that. "I went into arithmancy because it doesn't involve talking to people. I got to travel the world for the projects and consultations I did. I wasn't short of work, so once I finished a consultation, it was off to another country or city."
It sounds like a lonely life, thought Hermione. She focused on the pebbles beneath her shoes.
It sounds like you never stayed in one place for long.
It's what I loved about it.
Then why agree to the arithmancy position? You have to talk to a classroom full of students in order to teach, and Hogwarts is about as stationary as it can get.
I just thought it might be time to stay in one place a little longer. I hadn't thought that place could be Hogwarts. It's not a place I wanted to come back to, not after... Pansy didn't need to finish for Hermione to know what she meant. The first thing every person who walked through Hogwarts's front doors saw was a large memorial stone. It stood in the middle of the entrance hall. No one who wanted to enter and leave Hogwarts could avoid it. It was a memorial as much as a reminder. On the slanted side facing the entrance were the names of the fallen, carved into the stone and kept polished and prominent with magic.
"My 7th year wasn't..."
Pansy took a deep breath and sighed heavily.
"It's not something I... It was hell. I made people's lives a living hell in that year, and no one stopped me. I didn't stop myself. The last thing I ever wanted to do was step foot in this place again."
"But you did. Why?" The bottom of Hermione's shoes slipped against the wet pebbles, and she stumbled. Pansy caught Hermione, right hand on her hip, left hand on her arm as she steadied her. When Hermione's leg felt steadier, she smiled at Pansy gratefully, who slowly let go. She expected Pansy to move away, but she stayed close. Their hands brushed against each other as they walked, shoulders bumping and upper arms pressing close together. A few meters in front of them, on a stone outcrop, was a wooden jetty that led out on the lake. It was old and falling apart, but Hermione and Pansy always ended their walks by walking to the end. When they stood at the edge of the jetty, it felt like there was nothing but water surrounding her for miles.
"I wanted to make my peace. I thought if I came back and walked along these halls again, I'd be able to stop running."
The wood creaked with every step they took to the end. The thump of their footsteps broke the stillness that surrounded them. Hermione glanced at Pansy, whose head was held high, eyes focused on the distance. It wasn't an apology. A lifetime of apologies would never be enough. Not for the people who died. Not for Pansy, who looked the picture of indifference, if only her jaw stopped shaking. It was the most honest Hermione had ever seen her. Hermione slipped her hand into Pansy's and squeezed.
"Did it work?"
"I'm not sure." It was said so quietly, words so fragile that it would have gone unheard if Hermione wasn't so close to Pansy. A lump formed in her throat when Pansy held her hand tighter. Hermione didn't know if this was peace, but it was the closest she and Pansy had ever reached. On that rickety jetty,
with its rotting planks, overlooking the placid surface of the lake. Hermione felt like she was beginning to understand who Pansy Parkinson was. The changes in Pansy were so subtle that Hermione thought she was imagining it. The looks from Pansy that lasted a moment too long, the way Pansy smiled when they talked were more frequent and genuine. The way Pansy smiled when they talked was more frequent and genuine. The way Pansy would lean in and then retreat. It frustrated Hermione to no end. Things only seemed to go downhill for Hermione since February. She found herself unable to concentrate whenever Pansy was in the room. There was something almost cat-like that she discovered about Pansy. Hermione would be doing something, like marking her students' work, and she would look up to see Pansy at the door. "Are you an animagus?" asked Hermione, on one of those occasions when Pansy appeared next to her, almost seemingly out of thin air. She was outside in a secluded part of the school grounds that she'd discovered in her first year, sitting under her favorite apple tree. "I'm not," Pansy frowned in confusion. "Why?"
"No reason."
"You're being weird," commented Pansy. She took her shoes off and sat down next to Hermione on the picnic blanket she laid out. "And that's saying something, since you're always weird." Hermione ignored the comment and returned to the letter she was writing. A light breeze blew past, carrying a hint of apple blossoms in the air. Spring was Hermione's favorite season, and spending a Saturday afternoon like this was the perfect way to relax. Pansy seemed to think so too, as she stretched out on the blanket. The scratch of Hermione's quill against parchment, the chirping of birds, and Pansy's light breathing was all that filled this little corner of Hogwarts. Pansy was dozing on the blanket, eyes closed, face relaxed. It was the most candid Hermione had seen her. There was no pretense in the sharp rise of Pansy's brows, no restrained interjection to the pout of her mouth, no glare in her brown eyes. It was just Pansy, plain and simple. Even if Hermione doubted the other woman had ever been plain and simple. Wisps of Pansy's dark hair stuck up, ruffled and twisted from being bunched up beneath her head. Hermione reached out to smooth down the strands. Her hand was almost touching Pansy's head when her brain caught up with her actions.
"Tell you something funny?"
Hermione withdrew her hand so quickly that her joints popped. She winced and rubbed her elbow as Pansy opened her eyes.
"You're not funny, though."
Pansy rolled her eyes.
"This is..."
"I'll be the judge of that," said Hermione, and went back to her letter.
"Did you know the students have a bet going?"
"About what?"
"Whether we're dating."
The nib of Hermione's quill snapped, and ink splattered across her letter. She looked sharply at Pansy, who had one eye open and a much too pleased smirk on her face.
"What did you say?"
Pansy shrugged.
"Hey, don't just..."
Hermione imitated the careless shrug.
"What did you say?"
"I didn't say anything," said Pansy. "It's not like any of the students are brave enough to ask me."
"You are pretty scary."
"I know." Pansy smirked and winked up at Hermione. "I try."
"Doesn't it bother you that the students think we're dating when we're not?"
Pansy shrugged again, and her eyes narrowed.
"Not really. Everyone gossips. We live in a boarding school, after all."
"Well, I don't know if I feel complimented or offended. I haven't been on a date in years."
"Oh, really? And what does the great Hermione Granger think is a good date?"
Pansy was upside down to Hermione, but that only made her eyes brighter with mischief, sparkling in the sunlight that filtered down through the gaps between the apple blossoms on the branches above them.
"I don't know."
Hermione leaned against the trunk of the tree. The back of her head rested on the rough bark.
"A nice dinner."
"That's boring. You can have a nice dinner any time," said Pansy as she sat up, hair a mess from lying down.
It was a far cry from the usually put-together Professor Parkinson. It made her look more fallible, thought Hermione. She dropped her gaze to her letter. She couldn't focus on Pansy when she looked like this.
"I guess I've never been on a good date."
"That's a shame."
Hermione looked up. Shadows and light dappled across Pansy's face as she looked back with a smile so soft that Hermione's breath caught in her lungs.
"What are you doing?"
she asked, voice cracking slightly when Pansy moved forward. Pansy reached up, and Hermione's vision blurred as she watched Pansy's hand get closer.
"Here," said Pansy.
Held between her fingers was a pale pink petal. She let go, and the delicate blossom fluttered away before she laid back down.
"Your hair's full of them."
Hermione smoothed her hand over her hair, and a few more petals floated to the ground.
"So, tell me what your idea of a good date is," asked Pansy, laughing lightly as she batted the blossoms away.
"Something like this." Hermione thought things between her and Pansy were going well. So well that she started to wonder if there was something worth exploring. Every morning she woke up, determined that this was the day she would ask Pansy to have dinner with her, outside of the castle, somewhere nice. She never did ask Pansy what her idea of a good date was. She had spent that afternoon busily fighting off Pansy's teasing when she had shared her ideal date. Woodland walks, strolls along a beach, conversation over tea. She really did like a nice dinner. Simplicity was the way to her heart. Grandeur was never something she craved on dates. But every evening after dinner was finished, as she and Pansy walked back to the professor's quarters, and her courage failed her when she reached Pansy's door. There was always the next day to ask, and Hermione resolved to do just that. Except there were no more next days left. Hermione stormed into Pansy's classroom, flinging the door open so hard that it banged against the wall. Pansy jumped in her seat and looked up from her desk with a glare. But the expression faded, and her face smoothed out like a blank slate when she saw Hermione.
"What is this about you not returning to teach next year?" demanded Hermione as she strode toward Pansy's desk.
The door slammed shut as her magic flared. Pansy was unfazed as she spoke, almost bored, like she had told this many times.
"I'll be leaving for Budapest as soon as I can, once I've sorted things out here." "I thought things were okay."
Pansy blinked and put down her quill.
"They are." "But you're leaving." "Something better came up. I've been asked to act as a consultant for the Hungarian Research Association for Arithmancy." "That's it? Something better comes up and you just leave, like your responsibilities mean nothing?" "I never said that," said Pansy blandly. "I made no promises to McGonagall that I would be staying longer than after the NEWT exams. She knows that, and it's what I agreed to when I joined as temporary professor. You just came to that conclusion by yourself and made assumptions."
Hermione flinched. She was doing it again, thinking the worst of Pansy Parkinson. But what else was she supposed to think now that she was faced with this?
"What's wrong with teaching?"
"Nothing."
"Then why aren't you staying?"
asked Hermione, struggling to understand when Pansy wasn't giving anything for her to work on.
"Another opportunity came along." "Another opportunity?" Hermione scoffed, suddenly angry. "Right, because it's what you do. You run away. I guess coming back here didn't help you."
She had no right to be angry at Pansy. They weren't anything to each other. Sharing a few important moments didn't make them important to each other. Pansy had wormed herself into every aspect of Hermione's life and thoughts, and she was a fool for thinking all the time they spent together meant to Pansy as much as it did to her. It was clear that it wasn't the same for Pansy. They weren't anything other than colleagues. That was a lie, at least on Hermione's part. She was getting very good at lying to herself and ignoring the feelings that had taken on the shape of Pansy Parkinson since before their first drink at the Three Broomsticks. It had only become stronger with time and weighted with memories of the past few months. The way Pansy comforted her in the school kitchens. Pansy's smile as they watched fireworks together. Their walks around the lake as they talked, exchanging verbal swipes that were less insults and more banter. And all the hidden, subtle flirting they did with each other. It was all of that. And now Pansy was leaving, like all of it didn't matter.
"I thought we were becoming friends," whispered Hermione.
It was the most she was willing to admit.
"Come on, Hermione. We're colleagues," said Pansy. "That doesn't make us friends. We weren't friends in school. We hated each other."
"I don't hate you now."
"Maybe you should," snapped Pansy, as she avoided looking at Hermione directly in the eye. The short answers and coldness in her voice hurt so much. This wasn't the woman Hermione had got to know in the last year. But then again, how much could she learn about a woman in the space of 1 year? 1 year was not the same as 7 years, because Pansy was doing her absolute best to be the girl from school again.
"As much as I want to, I can't," said Hermione, annoyed.
She rounded the desk, and Pansy stood up.
"You're infuriating and get on my nerves. You're too intimidating to your students, but they respect you because you're a brilliant teacher. You gripe all the time about marking, but I know you secretly like it because you're a huge nerd and love arithmancy."
She stepped closer to Pansy.
"Your tongue is sharper than a blade, and you'd sooner throw insults at me than compliment me. Still too proud, still too attractive, still too obtuse when it comes to how people feel."
A broken gasp hitched in Hermione, and she pressed her knuckles to her mouth. Their eyes locked. The room was quiet, with only Hermione's hard breaths puncturing the silence. She dropped her hand from her mouth. She didn't know who moved first. It could have been her. It could have been Pansy. All it took was Pansy's gaze darting to her lips, and they were kissing. Hermione sank into the kiss and gasped at the swipe of Pansy's tongue along her bottom lip. She kissed Pansy like it was the last time, and the realization hit her like a stunning spell to the chest. This was the first and last time they would ever kiss, and she was already missing it. She pushed at Pansy's shoulders, and they separated as reluctantly as magnets. Pansy's lips were red and swollen. There was a spark to her brown eyes that Hermione wanted to extinguish. She wanted to hurt Pansy with lies. She wanted to beat her fists against Pansy's chest. Why did Pansy have to make her feel like this? Her chin trembled, and she clamped her jaw shut, stopping the clatter of her teeth, even though her insides were still shaking from the heat of the kiss they shared.
"You're a right ass!"
Hermione blinked quickly and willed the burning behind her eyes to fade away. Pansy wasn't even looking at her now. She gasped at the tightening ache in her chest and shook her head.
"I guess it's my mistake for thinking we could ever get over our past. Good luck with the rest of your life. I hope that opportunity is everything you were looking for."
Tears welled in Hermione's eyes, and she turned her back on Pansy. This wasn't what she wanted. The kiss they shared was brief, but it was already scorched in her memory. She knew it was something she would revisit much too often when she was alone. She walked to the door, vision blurring, and hoping, wishing for Pansy to say something to stop her. She paused with her hand on the doorframe and looked over her shoulder. Pansy was back at her desk and writing as if nothing had happened. And maybe that was the truth. What she and Pansy had was nothing. Stay by Vendetta Days. Chapter 4. Summer. Pansy stayed until the last NEWT examination. As soon as it was over, she was out of Hogwarts, robes whipping behind her as she walked through the front doors with a small leather suitcase levitating behind her. The announcement of Pansy's departure was made the following Monday morning by Minerva. The news was met by a chorus of surprised gasps, a few groans, and a spattering of cheers from the students.
"For those taking arithmancy OWLs, she has ensured that there is sufficient materials to continue her studies during her absence, which I will be teaching for the remainder of the term."
The groans got louder, as did some cheers, which Hermione noticed came from a few of the seventh years. Minerva raised her hands.
"The examinations may be over for the year, but I hope that you do not fall into complacency with your studies. Therefore, this will also include her arithmancy NEWT classes."
The groans that erupted throughout the great hall were louder than Hermione had heard before. She looked over to Minerva, who was trying to hide a smile behind her stern expression.
"Minerva really likes to torture her students," whispered Neville next to her.
Hermione cut her toast into triangles with more force than needed. The knife screeched across the plate.
She picked up a piece and chewed furiously.
"Are you all right?"
"I'm fine,"
replied Hermione with her mouth full, ignoring Neville's look of disbelief.
"I don't know what happened with you and Parkinson, but it'll be all right."
He was being a good friend, but she didn't want to talk about it. She smiled tightly and nodded.
"Seriously, Neville, I'm fine. I haven't thought about her once since she left."
That was a lie, and Neville knew it. She hadn't stopped thinking about Pansy, not once. Neville was kind enough not to mention it and returned to his breakfast, changing the conversation to the weather and how the plants were doing now the season was changing from spring to summer. The problem Hermione had was how acutely she felt Pansy's absence. Sometimes she was reading or just thinking, and the urge to see Pansy had her out of her seat and walking down the corridors to the arithmancy classroom or the staff room when she would suddenly remember that Pansy was gone. There were days she forgot entirely and walked into an empty classroom, absent of books and quills, with a clean chalkboard without Pansy's neat cursive. Then she remembered, and the shock of it always hit her hard. Sometimes the memory of their kiss rose unbidden to Hermione's thoughts. Pansy's soft lips, the heat of her mouth, the slide of her tongue. It wasn't too bad during the day when there were distractions that kept her mind busy. It was worse at night, when she was lying in bed. When she was feeling lonely, needy, and wanting another person's touch. She wondered if it could have ended differently. With Pansy in her bed, or her in Pansy's bed. Lips on skin, a knee between legs. Fingers and mouths moving to a pace and rhythm she hadn't thought much about in years. On the mornings after those particular nights, she was never quite able to look at Pansy's empty seat at the teacher's table. With Pansy gone, it was like Hermione had been hollowed out, the insides of her chest scooped out and left as empty as the seat at the table. She didn't know why she was even feeling like this. It wasn't like she and Pansy had been anything. One kiss didn't mean anything. It didn't matter now. Pansy had left, and Hermione doubted she would ever see her again. With the school year over, Hermione returned to her cottage in the Lake District. She made her promises to visit Harry and Ron in London after she had settled things at home, but for now, she just wanted some time alone. Hermione was barely a week into her summer holiday when the wards of her cottage were breached. She shot to her feet, silencing the shrill alarm with a slash of her hand in a burst of wandless magic. Everyone who was important to her was able to cross the boundaries into the land surrounding her cottage without triggering the wards. Everyone else should not have been able to cross it at all. Trepidation thrummed along Hermione's skin. Someone had managed to manipulate the wards to let them through. She grabbed her wand off of the coffee table and walked out into the hallway. A shadow appeared in the warped glass of the front door, and Hermione waited, her hand held in front of her, and ready to do battle. Seconds passed and turned to minutes, and the figure beyond the door didn't move. The longer Hermione waited, the calmer she became. But she didn't lower her wand. No amount of time passing could do away with the paranoia that came from a year of being on the run. Constant vigilance was a phrase she and many of her generation still lived by. When the figure finally moved, it wasn't to blast down the door. The doorbell went, and Hermione tensed. The cheery, jingling tune was as jarring as nails down a chalkboard. She sighed harshly and pushed her hair out of her face. The tune stopped and was followed by a hesitant knock.
"Hermione?"
Her eyes widened at the muffled voice coming through the door. She rushed forward and waved her wand. The sounds of multiple locks clicked open before she was able to wrench open the door. Standing on Hermione's front porch and looking smaller than she had any right to was Pansy. Her normally perfectly coiffed hair was curling at the ends. There were dark shadows beneath her eyes, like she hadn't slept properly since the last time Hermione had seen her.
"What are you doing here?"
"Can I come in?"
asked Pansy.
Her gaze rested on Hermione's face before darting to the ground. Next to her feet was a small suitcase.
"I've been traveling non-stop since Prague."
Hermione stepped forward and pressed the tip of her wand under Pansy's chin. Her voice was firm as she said,
"What happened after you told me you were leaving Hogwarts?"
A mutinous expression crossed Pansy's face. She swallowed and licked her lips.
"I kissed you," answered Pansy quietly.
She tipped her head backwards and brushed the wand away.
"What did you do afterwards?"
"I kissed you back, then yelled at you and left."
Pansy tutted and crossed her arms over her chest. It added some fire back to her posture and brought back awareness to Hermione that Pansy was with her. Again. Ever since Pansy had stepped back into Hermione's life, she was always center stage or at the periphery of her attention. It was why it was so hard to get used to Pansy's absence in the weeks leading up to the end of term.
"I was about to make dinner, so you might as well stay for that."
Hermione walked back inside and called over her shoulder,
"I expect you're staying, since you've got your suitcase."
The door closed behind her, and she didn't bother to check if Pansy followed her inside. The locks turned, and the magical wards activated with a thrum of invisible magic that seeped through the house. Hermione went into the kitchen and was reaching for the fridge handle when she felt hands at her waist. She turned and gasped as Pansy kissed her. It was nothing like the kiss they shared when they fought. It was a simple, closed-mouth kiss, but it sent shivers through Hermione. She tilted her head, hands going into Pansy's hair and pulling her harder against her. She opened her mouth to Pansy's tongue and moaned. It was a kiss of pure indulgence, and she wanted more. She wanted more of Pansy Parkinson, who seemed to swan in and out of her life. If this was what it was, then she wasn't going to let the chance pass her by.
"Bedroom,"
murmured Hermione, hands pushing insistently at Pansy's shoulder.
"Now."
The summer started with Hermione waking up each morning, with Pansy sleeping next to her. It was breakfast in bed on some days, or in the warm conservatory at the back of the cottage. On most days, and much to Hermione's delight, they forewent breakfast entirely and had each other. Pansy hated mornings, and her eyes always narrowed into a glare when Hermione coaxed her awake, sometimes with a nudge or a shake to her shoulder. Other times it was sleepy kisses, languid and slow, that became harder and heated when Pansy got more awake. It was a summer spent learning about Pansy and who she was in the privacy of two. She liked coffee in the mornings to wake herself up, but it was tea after lunch and another after dinner. She slept on the right side of the bed, because it felt right, even though she ended up sprawled on the left side, right on top of Hermione in the mornings. She was surprisingly good at cooking, and had taken charge of making dinner since the day she first arrived at Hermione's doorstep, after Hermione had burned the mashed potatoes. They fell into an easy routine, one that Hermione was constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. She waited for the day she woke up to find the bed empty, the wardrobe emptied of Pansy's clothes, the second toothbrush gone from the bathroom. Everywhere Hermione looked in her home, there was evidence of Pansy. The small stack of arithmancy books on the coffee table, scraps of parchment with hastily written numbers and calculations, a mug painted with colorful flowers that had become Pansy's that was always half-filled with cold tea because she always forgot about it after she had it. Pansy had seeped herself into every part of Hermione's life, and no matter how she tried, she couldn't bring herself to care. For the first time in years, Hermione didn't feel the loneliness that sometimes soured the summer months for her. She tried not to think too much about the end of the summer. It was only the beginning of the summer, and there was still time. So the summer started and continued with Pansy being a fixture in Hermione's house and life. She visited Harry and Ron in London as promised. Luna dropped in for coffee and a chat one day, and on seeing Pansy hadn't even batted an eyelid. Luna, being Luna, had smiled serenely and asked Pansy about the latest arithmancy paper she was writing.
She even paid a visit to the Weasleys at the Burrow. Each time she left her cottage and returned, she expected Pansy to have disappeared. Each time, she was surprised to find Pansy still there.
"I'm surprised you returned to the UK so quickly," commented Hermione one evening.
They were sitting out in the garden. Pansy was reading a book by the light of a magical orb floating above her head, and Hermione was admiring the sunset and the way the sky was turning slowly from yellow-orange to pink and red.
"You made it sound like you didn't want to return. I'm surprised you stayed in Hogwarts for as long as you did." "I got comfortable." Pansy cleared her throat and closed her book. "I hadn't thought it was possible, not with how I felt about Hogwarts, but you made me feel like I deserved a second chance, like it's okay for me to be comfortable in one place."
"Is that why you left? Because being at Hogwarts made you comfortable?"
Hermione watched a butterfly land on a flower and resisted looking at Pansy. She wasn't sure she could stop herself from reaching out and kissing her. It was easy to kiss Pansy when it led to sex, but being affectionate for the sake of being affectionate, wanting to kiss Pansy because she said something like, "You made me feel like I deserved a second chance," veered too much into more than whatever this was between them. They hadn't talked about what this was. Pansy huffed and looked out at the garden. It was overgrown with wildflowers, untidy and uncared for, and full of weeds, too. Gardening was never something Hermione had liked, and she was content to let nature handle itself.
"I've been moving from one place to the next ever since I finished Hogwarts," said Pansy. "I took jobs overseas, never stayed in one place long enough to make friends. It was easier that way."
Hermione held on to Pansy's hand, intertwining their fingers together. There was a wistfulness to Pansy's tone that she didn't like she was going to disappear.
"You can travel the world again without having to look behind you. If that's your philosophy, then it must be easy to leave each time."
Something inside Hermione's chest shook at the flash of irritation that crossed Pansy's face. She tightened her hold on Pansy's hand, and to her surprise, Pansy shuffled closer and leaned her head on her shoulder.
"Yeah, something like," was Pansy's mumbled reply. "Whatever you think."
The easy, unexpected affection of Pansy resting against Hermione was so at odds with her disinterested tone and careless words. It made Hermione feel like she had missed the point, but for the life of her, she didn't know what it was she had missed. So she rested her cheek on the top of Pansy's head and watched the sunset on a summer that was turning out to be the most confusing of her entire life. Hermione spent the summer lounging in the cottage, going on walks into the woods surrounding her property, and savoring every single moment she had with Pansy. They were cocooned in their own little world by four walls, thickets of trees and lush greenery, the blankets on the bed, and Hermione wished they could stay like this. But the days passed, time ticked away, and it was soon the middle of August and time to finish her plans for the Transfiguration curriculum for the next academic year.
"It's almost the end of summer," said Hermione,
broaching the subject that was increasingly on her mind for the last few weeks, Pansy's departure. She tried to keep it light, but her words sounded strangled.
"You'll be heading off soon, yeah?"
"Do you want me to?" Pansy looked at Hermione, an emotion flickered across her face too quickly for Hermione to decipher. No, she didn't. That was the honest answer. She had got used to seeing Pansy every day at school, and now she was used to waking up every morning to see Pansy in her bed, short hair splayed over her pillow, and so messy that it stuck up and needed a hair-straightening charm to set it right. Hermione ducked her head and stared at their joined hands. They were on the sofa, Hermione lying with her back nestled in the corner between the arm and back cushions, and Pansy was lying in between her legs. A talent show was on TV, volume set to a low murmur because Pansy was reading and Hermione was only pretending to watch the program. She swallowed, throat aching with the sudden rise of emotion. Oh, God, this wasn't how it was supposed to happen. She blinked at the burn of tears, but the sight of Pansy's fingers
adorned with her many gold rings, and how it made holding Pansy's hand awkward on their walks, had her forgetting her promise to let Pansy go.
"Do you want me to leave?" Pansy asked again.
She was looking out the window of the cottage.
"No,"
said Hermione, breathing it out like a quiet puff of air.
"I never wanted you to leave in the first place. Then you went and showed up on my doorstep, and I know you'll leave again soon."
A sob hitched in Hermione's throat, and she wanted to hide the embarrassingly needy sound.
"Because that's what you do. So I shouldn't be like this. It's okay. You can leave. It's not like we're in a relationship or anything. I just... it's fine. It's fine."
She was babbling, and she wanted to disappear. This wasn't how she wanted to end this. She had gone through this scenario so many times that it was supposed to be foolproof. On the last day of August, she was going to wake up, kiss Pansy, wish her well, and send her off to whatever adventure she had planned. Then she was going to apparate to Hogwarts, and that would be the end of it. Easy. No problems, no complications. Pansy turned around and kissed Hermione. Her hands cradled Hermione's jaw so tenderly that it drew another shaking sob from Hermione. Pansy shushed her gently, peppering kisses to every part of her face, her lips, her cheeks, her chin, beneath her eyes and the tears that had run down her face, her brow, her forehead. Where Pansy could reach, she kissed and kissed.
"Enough of that,"
whispered Pansy against Hermione's temple. It only made Hermione want to cry harder, but she forced herself to stop, even though it hurt to know that this was it, that what they had right now was all she could have of Pansy Parkinson. It was such a reversal to what she had felt for Pansy a year ago when Minerva had announced the identity of the school's new arithmancy professor.
"I'm sorry,"
Hermione leaned back, broke away from Pansy's touch, and rubbed her eyes with her hands.
"I didn't mean for that to happen. Just ignore me. Forget about this."
"I don't want to."
"Pansy, please, don't make this any harder for me than it has to be."
"No, you don't understand."
What was there to understand? Pansy had basically said she was leaving. Hermione shook her head and looked away.
"You don't have to explain yourself. I was expecting this."
"No, Hermione,"
pleaded Pansy, but Hermione refused to look at her. The sofa cushions dipped as Pansy stood up and hurried out of the living room, footsteps thumping down the hall to the bedroom. Hermione breathed out harshly and wiped at her face roughly with her hand. It was her fault, all her bloody fault. She couldn't just keep her mouth shut for another few weeks. No, she had to open her mouth, and now Pansy was packing, if the bumps and rummaging she heard was any indication. To leave. Hermione stared at the clock on the mantelpiece. It was a small, rectangular clock made of brass. Nothing special or magical, but it made her think of the Weasleys' magical clock in the living room of the Burrow. She thought about owning one herself some day, one that would have more than just one hand representing herself. It was a silly, silly dream. This was for the best. If Pansy left now, then she could concentrate on preparing for the new term, instead of being constantly distracted. When Pansy walked back into the living room and stopped in front of the sofa, Hermione had almost convinced herself that she was fine.
"Here."
Pansy held out an envelope. The unruffled demeanor was gone, replaced by a sadness in Pansy's eyes that shook Hermione's breath away and constricted her chest. She took the envelope and looked at the address.
"Miss Pansy Parkinson, The Cottage, Lake District, Cumbria."
The front of the envelope bore all the hallmarks of Minerva's penmanship. Beautiful cursive, with flourishes to each letter, and written in green ink. The wax seal of Hogwarts' school crest was already broken on the back. Hermione lifted the flap and pulled out the letter. Pansy stayed standing in front of her. As she read, gaze trailing down from the top, her eyes widened, and she gasped. She covered her mouth with her hand and looked at Pansy.
"I was going to tell you," said Pansy quietly. "I just didn't know when."
Hermione dropped the letter on the sofa and stood up. She reached for Pansy's wrists and held them loosely in her hands,
scared that Pansy would disappear if she didn't touch her.
"You accepted the permanent arithmancy position?"
"Yeah."
"I thought you were leaving."
Pansy's shoulders were curled inwards, head bowed, and she looked so small standing in front of Hermione. A large personality, reduced to something small.
"I thought about it. I did leave. But here I am, in the middle of the Lake District, when I could be traveling the world."
"Then why are you here?" asked Hermione, dejected. She wanted to fight. She wanted to be selfish, to hurt and punish Pansy. But she was too tired of it all.
"Because of you."
Instead of relief or even elation, Hermione felt disbelief. Nothing ever went the way she wanted so smoothly, no matter how she planned it and made contingencies. Pansy had blown into her life and out, and then back in as easily as a storm.
"Don't say that if you don't mean it," said Hermione quietly. "I don't think I can handle it if you get my hopes up, only to dash it later."
Pansy pulled Hermione forward, arms going around her shoulders into a tight hug.
"I mean it. I don't want to leave this time. When I got to the hotel in Budapest, I realized just how quiet it was, and the first thing I wanted to do was talk to you."
She laughed into Hermione's hair. "But I couldn't, and you weren't a few corridors from the arithmancy classroom anymore. It was so quiet without you next to me with your non-stop babbling."
"I don't babble," grumbled Hermione.
She leaned back so she could see Pansy clearly.
"You do, especially when you get excited or angry over something."
Pansy smiled and brushed the hair out of Hermione's eyes, tucking it behind her ear.
"It's adorable."
It was an innocuous comment, and entirely innocent compared to some of the things Pansy said to her when they were in bed. Her face still heated with a blush.
"Then why did you leave?" "It felt like home," confessed Pansy.
She pressed a kiss to Hermione's lips. It was chaste, and nothing like the heated kisses that had them falling into bed together, but it was just as potent.
"For the first time in years, it felt like home whenever I was with you. And it scared me. I wanted to spend all my time with you, and I just did what I normally did."
"You ran?" Pansy nodded.
"I'm sorry."
Hermione sighed and ran her fingers along the line of Pansy's jaw, touching a gentle trail from under her ear to her chin. It was a part of Pansy that she hated when they were in school, always tilted up and haughty, but it was now one of many parts that she loved about Pansy. Hermione went still as she realized what she had thought. She laughed at herself and shook her head. She leaned up on her toes to kiss Pansy.
"You feel like home to me, too. So if you ever feel like running again, can you at least tell me?"
The smile on Pansy's face widened, and the doubt in the creases of her forehead smoothed out, the sadness in her eyes lightened.
"I don't feel like running now. Not when you're here with me."
"Then stay with me," said Hermione, brave with the new knowledge of what she felt for Pansy. "Here in this cottage in the summer, at Hogwarts during term, and wherever else that may be, if you need to travel. So stay." Pansy looked like she wanted to cry, but she was smiling. She laughed. The sound was bright and clear and worlds away from the Pansy of their past. Then again, the woman Hermione had come to know, the one who was standing in front of her, fingers entwined with hers and smiling with tears in her eyes, was exactly the same. The only difference was that Hermione had given her a chance.
"Stay,"
repeated Hermione. She kissed Pansy again and was relieved when Pansy kissed back.
"Stay with me."
"Always."